Watch out! It's the next crop!
Great new Australian music.
Oh, God!
On Triple J.
Hi, my name's Alana Stone. I'm a singer from Sydney.
When did you start singing?
I started singing when I was about 8 years old.
What were you singing back then?
Mainly Wind Beneath My Wings, which I strangely heard when I walked into the foyer of the ABC studios just now. It was like maybe a Burt Bacharach version, and I felt like it had come full circle. I was now, you know, singing Wind Beneath My Wings for the public rather than just my weird family.
Were you encouraged by your family to be musical?
I was, but they asked me just if I could sing it but face the wall so they didn't have to look at me.
Are you serious?
No.
Right. Okay.
It was a horrible, abusive household.
But seriously, your brother Jake plays in Blue Juice. Was it a very musical family? Was it a music times in the Stone household?
We did, like, Jake and I when we were, I don't know, even know if Jake was in it or if he wasn't in it. But anyway, I think he was in it. When we were in year six, we had a band with the neighbours' kids and we played La Bamba and I Want to Hold Your Hand. That's the only two songs that we could play. I think Jake maybe was just like, he'd come in and sing a bit and then he'd get the shits and leave, and he was more of just the attitude element of the band. But yeah, Jake and I never agreed that much about musical taste as teenagers. It was mostly like he was into Metallica as a 14-year-old, which you'll really hate me for saying, but it's true. And then I got into jazz and we just totally just separated. I moved to Canberra. He stayed in Sydney and started writing like Elliott Smith-style songs on the piano downstairs, and got really into Ben Folds Five. And every time I came up, he'd be like, oh, can I play this song? And I'd be like, ugh. Like, come on, I've just been studying Charlie Parker. What can you possibly have to offer me? And, like, he'd play me Bob Dylan and I'd sort of go, oh, yeah, he can't really sing, but there's definitely something going on. And
what was it about jazz that drew you in?
For me, I think I really liked to perform as a teenager, and I also think just the style of my voice, the sound of my voice, because I've got kind of a bluesy big voice, it suited jazz. And I kind of liked the cliche of the jazz singer. But as I got further into that cliche, I realised that it wasn't me at all. Like, it's an American music.
What is the cliche? Describe it.
Well, I mean, obviously it's like an abused black woman who's, you know, addicted to drugs and has like so much soul that it's like pouring out of her. It's not necessarily something that you study. It's something that you grow up as part of, and it's the sound of your neighbourhood. And that's why those singers, like the ones that I really loved, sounded like they did, because they were singing the music that they grew up on. I'm not that, you know. I'm not a big black woman with an abusive drug past, and so I have to sing what sounds right to me.
A lot of people would understand what it means to learn to play the piano or learn to play a guitar. Give me an insight into what you actually have to learn to be able to sing. What's the technical stuff they actually do?
Well, I'm a singing teacher, so it's a difficult technique to teach because obviously it's not a visual medium. Everything's like internal, but I actually get really anatomical about it. Like, I love to see footage of the larynx and see how the vocal cords vibrate together. I love learning about how pitch occurs, like in a purely scientific way, because I think the more informed you are about that physiological stuff, the more you can picture it in your mind and then produce it. I think it's good to have scientific knowledge, but it's even better just to listen to the artists that you love and almost mimic them and take what you can of their sound and then absorb it into your own, so that you're grabbing the voices of all the people that you really dig.
We've been hearing you all over the radio here at Triple J in the Hermitude song, Your Call. How did you get involved in that?
Luke Dubs and I used to be in a band together, an old big band, like a swing band. We just love each other's playing. There was just a real musical connection with us. And then he left the band and I left the band short after, and it was like 5 years later that he called me up to do the Hermitude song. And it was just like, I think we just always kept in our minds that we wanted to work together. And luckily enough, he decided to team me up with Tim, Earthboy, who I'd never met before and didn't really even know his music apart from that we get around. I'd heard that a bit on the radio. But, yeah, so we met in his apartment, in Earthboy's apartment, to write some lyrics together. And I don't know if you've ever tried to write lyrics with someone, but it's like really personal thing. So we weren't really getting anything done. And we kind of ended the first session with, look, I'll just text you some ideas and, you know, you text back and maybe we could just write it like via SMS. The next time we got together, we just got more comfortable. It was basically really, really fun and easy.
Did you learn anything from his style of vocal delivery and lyric writing, his hip-hop background, that you want to bring into your own music now?
Yeah, he's quite aggressive in his delivery and it makes for really, like, rhythmic phrasing. I think he's a rhythmic sort of guy because he was aware of what the verses were broken up into, because it was actually like a form of three parts and then like three parts. So it was kind of all revolved around this three thing, which you probably wouldn't ever hear if you listen to it because it just sounds like a logical pop track, like a hip hop track. But he was really aware of how the mathematical things would occur. And I was like, oh yeah, wow, I would never have thought that he would think of it in that way. And then when we performed, we did the launch at the Oxford Arts Factory a few weeks ago, and he was so relaxed on stage. He was like moving around, like crossing the stage, really working off me in a kind of like acty way, which I'm not used to. And so I just sort of thought, wow, I feel so rigid. And I started sort of working the stage a bit more. So that was fun. It was a cool thing for him to show me.
Well, Alana, I'm almost going to let you go. I just would like you to tell me a bit about Slippery Slidey, which is the song that we're going to be featuring.
Slippery Slidey was a song that I just had lyrics for that I'd written quite a while before the song came about. But we were in the studio. We'd recorded a couple of songs. We'd had a few beers. Things had started to loosen up. We're all just playing around, and my guitarist Bazzy started playing this thing. It was like bam, boom, and he was just like playing it. And I said, "What's that, Baz?" And he goes, "Slippery Slidey." And he said that, and I was like, "Fuck, that's really cool." And I said, "I think I might have some lyrics." And I sat down at the piano and started singing my lyrics. And then Zoe just jumped back on the drums and she went, and she just rocked it, and Jake was there, my brother, and Alex Burnett from Sparkadia were there, and they were like, God, that sounds amazing. Like, you guys have got to record that. And we were like, no, we're just mucking around. Jake and Alex just got so excited. They made us do it about seven times, which is not the way that we normally record. We're like, third take, that's it. And then they laid over some backing vocals and stuff, and it just turned into this song.